the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is to prepare the soul to meet the problems of time and eternity. Our introductory thought had to do with Saul of Tarsus, blinded, broken, distraught, on the way to Damascus, informed by Christ that he should go into the city and wait for a message from heaven telling him what to do. The Lord contacted Ananias, an otherwise unknown Christian in Damascus, and instructed him when to go and where to go and what to say to Saul. So heaven works with the person in need, and he works with the instrument that is going to meet that need. And the Holy Spirit is the agent that makes these manipulations, none of which interferes with human will. Saul could have refused to go into Damascus and gone back in a huff to Jerusalem. Ananias could have said, I am not going, I am running scared of such a terrible man who has murdered many people. But both of them yielded, and the history of the world was changed. Part number one, convicting power. The Holy Spirit is the agent that brings conviction, that brings feelings of guilt. Many times a pastor is accused of spanking his church, of putting them down, of making them feel guilty. The pastor is not doing anything of the kind. The pastor is merely the spokesman. It is the Holy Spirit that works in the mind and makes the sinner feel guilty, brings up his conduct in a lurid light into his mind, and makes him feel, I oughtn't to do this. This is wrong. Then, in self-justification, that sinner might say, well, what business has the preacher to talk about this anyway? And so he is turning down the voice of the Spirit that is bringing convicting power into his life. And when the Holy Spirit reproves or convinces of sin, at the same time he points out the alternative, the way of life. Or if he doesn't immediately point out what should be done, he directs the penitent to somebody who will. On the day of Pentecost, multitudes listened to Peter and were pricked in the heart and said to him, what shall we do? Then the Holy Spirit used Peter to tell them to be full of repentance, acknowledgement of their sin, and to be baptized, and to join Jesus Christ and his church. That is the work of the Spirit. Part number two, indwelling power. The first section dealt with the momentary, convincing, convicting, reproving power of the Holy Spirit in the life. And this section, the emphasis is laid on continuing power, the continuing presence of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't leave us when he has made us feel guilty and brought to our minds an understanding of what we have done that we ought not to do and what we ought to do that we have left undone. He abides with you, he dwells with you, he is in you, and he maintains this beautiful state of childlike new birth. Every morning we die to self, every morning we begin again, every morning we lay our lives and our personalities in the hand of Christ and tell him to take over. And then he helps to bring forth the fruit. And we can read all those wonderful fruits of the Spirit that are the products of the indwelling Spirit. Part number three, he enables. Not only does he call our attention to what we should do, not only is he in our personality every moment, if we invite him to be and want him to be, keeping us aware of the dangers and temptations and possibilities in our lives, but the Holy Spirit is the enabling power. He cooperates with our will. He cooperates with our activity, our personality. He gives us the strength to do what we should do. Think of the miracles of Christ. As we study the parables, we learn the theory. As we study the miracles, we see how that theory is put into practice. Jesus Christ calls himself the way. Walk in it. Well, how can we walk if we are 38 years crippled, lying at the side of the pool, waiting for some miracle? But when Jesus bade that man walk, not only did he walk, but he jumped around and carried his bed and was perfectly restored. Christ's biddings are Christ's enablings. When the Holy Spirit convinces, the Holy Spirit empowers. We shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon us. And this power enables us to do everything that God intends we should do. Now take, for example, the first exhibition of this power in operation. 10 days after the ascension of Jesus Christ, the festival of Pentecost arrived. All the disciples, 120 of them, were in the upper room, one mind, one accord, one desire. They wanted to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill the divine design. The Holy Spirit descended, and on the day of Pentecost, the gift of tongues to enable witnessing came into effect. They spoke many languages, and thousands of souls accepted the message. Unlearned, ignorant fishermen, tax gatherers, nevertheless were mighty evangelists to lay firmly the foundation of the Christian church. Christ's promise, you shall receive power, was beautifully fulfilled. Part number 4, the latter rain. I always emphasize when talking about the latter rain, the more vital need for the early rain. The latter rain ripens the crop. The early rain and the winter rain help to germinate and propagate and develop the crop. The latter rain would be useless if there was a drought at the time of the early rain. I think we ought to read Testimonies to Ministers from page 500 on for some 10 pages and get clearly in our minds the role of the early and the latter rain. The one begins and the other consummates. If you can think about these two, one parallels justification by faith, the other one is sanctification. If there is no seed setting in the blossom, there will be no ripening harvest. But God has promised the early and the latter rain. In fact, he says in the book of Joel, he'll give them in the same month. He can make a quick work and a short work when there is total dedication. Now, the early and the latter rain must be experienced by every individual in every generation. It must be experienced by every church. And then it has a final, last time, last day, eschatological application as well to the church at large. For this lesson, I think we need to emphasize that we, members of the Sabbath school classes, must experience now the early and the latter rain. It's falling all around us. There are saints ripened for the harvest right now. Between this Sabbath and next Sabbath, souls will die and be buried. If the early and the latter rain do not ripen their fruit-bearing, they will never make the kingdom of God. So while we look to some great future outpouring of the Holy Spirit, let's not overemphasize this, but let us make certain that we today, in the time of the latter rain, are really filled with the Spirit and are allowing Him to ripen the fruit of the Spirit that is being born in our lives. Like the sealing, the early and the latter rain, like the shaking, the early and the latter rain, is an individual function in every individual personality. And this takes place now. As Ellen White said 100 years ago, we are in the shaking time. The drops of the latter rain are falling now. And we, as we move day by day nearer to the time of our death or the second coming of Christ, must live so that the Holy Spirit can take charge. And this is possible only by prayer. We must ask Him every moment of every day, every time we think about it, Lord, give me the Spirit that I may live as Christ would have me live. Show me, search me, try me, exhibit to me what I should change. And then give me the power, give me the grace, give me the indwelling Spirit so that the hidden works of darkness can be broken off and the wonderful life of Christ might be incorporated into my personality. Part number 5, receiving the Spirit. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? It's a gift. We must accept it. We must receive it. The promise is to us, to you and to your children, and to those that are far off. It's no special promise. The promise of the Holy Spirit is given to everyone who wants it. Everyone who is prepared to obey Him. We are told in Acts 5:32. We say, Lord, I am ready to fit in with any program you have, whatever you want to do. I want to be like Jesus. Please give me the Holy Spirit. Now there are others who want to use the Holy Spirit. Simon Magus is such an example. He was ready to offer some money that he might be able to exercise miracles and transforming preaching through the power of the Holy Spirit. He didn't understand the personality changes that were necessary in him. He had no part or lot in this Christian dynamic. Part number 6, daily experience. Each of these pieces of instruction that Christ has given must be applied daily. In fact, more often than daily. Moment by moment, I am kept in His love. Moment by moment, I have power from above. This must be our deliberate, determined choice. This is where we exercise our will. Our prayer should be, Lord, this is what I want. I want your Holy Spirit. I want His power. I want His control. I don't want to do my own ways. I don't want to talk my own words. I want to be a Christ-like person. And then as we think, as we ponder on our lives, then the Holy Spirit says, this is what we ought to do. Today, in many psychological circles, there is a great inward looking. What can I do? I must develop my potential. I must be what I am. This, of course, is devilish in many ways. It's not that I must be what I am. It's I must be what Christ can make me, which will be possibly entirely different from the way I am at the present time. And so as I look inwards, I see wounds and bruises and putrefying sores and weakness and incompetence, and I turn my eyes upon Jesus, and the Holy Spirit says, look at Him. He will be the fullness of life. He will give you all the power you need. I stand ready to take charge of you. And if we will thus pray and thus relate, the Holy Spirit will never leave us, and His transforming power will make us a new creation.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.